This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation is brought to you by Bonneville Bones, Barefoot Marketing, ESC Distributors, Burger King, Fidelity Bank, Paradise Fisheries, Commonwealth Bank, Carifta Aquatics 2024, Bahamas Building and Fire, Atos Holding, Alive, and Fincastle Media. Ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a Monday morning live and in full effect, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you ain't got no Monday morning blues. We're out here as my foot is wrapped up. Someone talk to me. I got a whole cast on my foot walking with crutches. Did my wife do it? I think we should just say yes. I think it's just yes. But she didn't do it. I miss a step walking in the garage. Went down to the thing. That thing is hurting. Guys, we're here, but we're live. We're alive and we're living. We're in the land of living. I'm grateful to be with you. Make sure you pick up the Guardian newspaper. It's conflict on the details of the Prime Minister's new car. The Financial Secretary is indicating to us that says that the Prime Minister's current car is being rented. This is bananas. Up and down, left and right. I hope you guys had a beautiful time as the parishioners of St. at Christchurch Cathedral to participate in the annual Palm Sunday procession through downtown Nassau yesterday. I know you guys are getting yourself prepared for Holy Week. Hope you did something in terms of being able to put some things aside and move in accordance to the call that you have upon your life. Talk to me. It's a beautiful day, ladies and gentlemen. I'm grateful to be with you. I got a major surprise. Make sure you pick me up, guardiantalkradio.com, guardiantalkradio.com. Before I go into anything, I got to say, contact DaVinci Printing Innovators for all of your printing needs. We offer a variety of printing services, including business cards, flyers, tickets, labels, and personalized receipt books. We also print programs, booklets, tied envelopes, print and scan architectural drawing, and much more. Shop in our retail store for all your gift needs and check out our book selection for all your current and trending reads. Visit our storefront location on Village Road Shopping Plaza or visit the website at www.davinciprinting242.com. That's davinciprinting242.com. Also got to give a shout out to my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They are located number 407 Blue Hill Road South. They got you, if you're in the market for an SD, and you got your jitney, you got your tax, you got all these things, you got to give them a call. They got in-house financing. Get yourself taken care of in those particular instances. Please give them a call, 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. They're open from Monday to Saturday, Monday to Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. Guys, we are here on this beautiful Monday morning, Monday afternoon. I'm grateful to be with you, and I got a magnificent surprise for you. I got a call this morning, right? My phone rang off. I didn't know if it was the right thing to ring off. I said, I haven't seen this number pop up my phone in a long time. Saw the number, answered the phone, and I was grateful to be able to have a very quick conversation and ask me whether we have anything set up today. We did want to start to have a conversation about education. Some information came about IDB, but we're going to dive into that. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to none other than the Honorable Michael Pintard, leader of the Free National Movement. This is an exciting thing. My brother, it is so wonderful to see you. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
It's good to be here. Thank you very much. Looking forward to the discussion. I haven't had a chance to listen in its entirety to your show. I've only heard bits and pieces, particularly the section sent to me. And it's clear that there are many critical issues that you are not following that I've been addressing. So I came to help you out. You know, I used to be in talk show, and you know, sometimes people miss large caches of information that can benefit them. So I thought I ought to bring some to you as a Grand Bahamian. I want to be a great assistance to the public by way of you.
Listen
and
to me.
So I'm here today, my brother.
Splash deep, right into the deep. We didn't even pretend I'm into the thick of it. Right away, ladies and gentlemen, we're here. We're having a very good conversation. Don't even bother calling me right now. We're going to get the foundation out and talk about these things. There's a great deal of things that's happening. Michael Pintard, in your particular capacity, since you've taken over in this capacity as the Free National Movement, there has been this this unease, this social unease. And I don't know whether or not it's bubbled from within the organization or from an external standpoint. For the most part, there's a great deal of persons in the organization. Of course, there was agendas associated with it, but there's been a pushback on your leadership. This is nothing that we haven't seen before, but we've seen from a cultural standpoint that a lot of persons have taken this and try to settle this particular instance. They settle it with a convention. We've seen you gone to a convention, you've won handsomely, and we want to know whether or not this will be translated into a victory come 2026. Talk to me about this.
Well, let me ask you a question from the jump. You said a great deal. What are you hearing?
I can tell you what I'm hearing. Now we can shoot straight. I hear that you enjoy more than 75 to 80% of the council, the voting council, not the naysayers and all these people out there, the voting council that can put you in a position. I understand that you enjoy some 75 to 80%. And this is people calling me from Grand Bahama, here in Nassau. I had a few people from Abaco, Spanish Well, so forth. I support Michael Pintard, but that's not any deflection from the fact that there are still persons pushing back.
As there will always be in all political organizations. So it may be helpful in your future description of what you perceive to be issues in the FNM to begin with what your research has told you, as opposed to, again, because there's a handful of persons who are relentless and paid to call you because they present a position. I think the responsible thing to do is to give a rounded perspective based on your own research. And so, again, we are about the business in the leadership of the Free National Movement to hold the government accountable. That's what our primary role is. Secondly, but for us more importantly, it is when the opportunity arises to cast vision about what we would do when given a chance to govern in 2026. And we believe, given the pressures this government is under, they are likely to go much earlier than 2026. And so that's the job that we have been carrying out. In addition, we have been demonstrating that we right now are ready to govern, as we have been in the community doing a number of things which some persons would only expect once you have gotten in government. Last week, we would have launched our anti-crime initiative.
We saw that.
At least 22 constituencies were ready to reveal what they have already been working on and programs that they would launch, including public service announcements, mentoring programs that are active in schools as we speak, community-based programs, that is, walkabout working in conjunction with government agencies and non-governmental organizations, referring persons who require counseling to qualified persons in order to deal with the impact of persons having lost loved ones, etc. We're running, so across 39 constituencies, our goal is to run four major programs. We've launched one already. The second one we are going to do the big reveal on is many of our associations are already engaged in feeding programs, whether it's food vouchers, whether it is providing packages of grocery, hot meals, breakfast in the park, grill outs, etc., in order to break bread with residents. Again, this is something we're doing across the country. So this isn't just about talking about governance. The destination is for us to be in the chair to provide leadership come 2026 or sooner. However, the journey is as important as the destination. And so we should be impacting persons' lives all along the way. The third national program that we are launching is the small home repair. Those persons who are vulnerable and challenged, each constituency is going to pick a home consistent with the budget that they can afford to engage in home repair. Again, this is to signal that we should be in the business of affecting lives right now, not just to wait until 2026. We believe the government's performance in terms of small home repair has been abysmal. Post-Dorian relief has been horrific. I mean, it's been horrible. And so, again, we need to continue to touch people's lives. And then the final is to run a cleanup program. In every constituency where we're in, we're saying to associations, if you want to convince the public you're ready for prime time, demonstrate it where you are in your constituency. This isn't just about politics, but it's about transforming people's lives. And we must be able, as a major political organization, the next government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, to run these programs, and we are.
Let's touch this. I want to know about the contrast. Most recently, we would have seen the leader of the PLP take on this kind of position and talk about the philosophical difference that exists between the FNM and the PLP in speaking of the Freedom of Information Act and stating that there's a stark contrast that exists, that this is nothing that the PLP believes. Okay, so set that aside. I want to know whether or not in your state of leadership that you seek to be able to present in thought, word, and deed, that there's a philosophical difference between you and leadership that existed prior. Your desire to always be able to remain steadfast and consistent in this kind of a line to talk about the fact that there is corruption afoot or perceived corruption afoot, or if anything that's untoward, I always want to be able to put myself above that as an indication to say that, okay, hey, listen, they tried to give us some space for the paraffinia to go to Grand Bahama. They access to go to Botswana. Is this sort of a picture that you want to paint into the electorate's mind to say that you could expect transparency, accountability, and a stand-up convicted person as it relates to the leadership of Michael Pintard as leader and prime minister of the country?
Yes. Just before I answer that, just to button up the earlier question you raised, let me be clear. The Convention for the Free National Movement is slated for October of next year. It is our intention to ensure that by the 17th, before the 17th of October of this year. But again, our goal is by before the 17th of September, we expect that elections would have been history. So our goal is to make sure ahead of what is the slated time, I fully intend to ask the council of the party. I'm one vote on the council, but I intend to ask them to approve some dates as early as possible, but certainly before the 17th of September, to make sure that we have an election where all positions will be challenged.
Including your position.
With all positions.
I've gotten a call from a few persons within your organization, within the Free National Movement, those persons who support the Constitution, those persons who support you, those persons who support those persons who are perceived to be moving towards leadership in that position. And they've indicated to me that through transparency, like the question that I just asked you, they said that you've already indicated to the council that every man for himself and God for us all, in so many words, right? They indicate that there is not going to be a ticket, a prescribed ticket to say that this is the A team and this is who I want you to be able to vote for. Have you taken this sort of a course and allowed democracy to follow its course, and you're willing to be able to serve with whoever comes to the forefront?
Democracy will take its course whether there is a ticket or not a ticket. So I don't buy that argument. Those are persons who sharing their own views and certainly not mine. At the end of the day, all positions will be vacant, and persons who wish to align with each other ought to have candid conversations to make sure that they share the approach and the issues, that they have a common position on those particular issues, so that we are able to work together seamlessly. A person should also make sure that they have adequate time to dedicate to positions that they are pursuing, so that this is not about the optics of a position, but its willingness to dedicate the requisite time to make a difference in the lives of people in our organization who are giving us an opportunity to better serve them, but more importantly, to better serve the Bahamian people. And so, again, I'm prepared to work with any and all persons in the FNM who are minded to work on behalf of the Bahamian people and support the organization and not be a hindrance to the work of the organization. Our position is simple, that if you are committed to making sure the best vehicle for serving the Bahamian people succeed, which is the Free National Movement, then you'll behave accordingly. You'll work on teamwork. You'll dedicate your time less to talking and more to committing to the assignments that will improve our messaging, that will improve our community outreach program, that will build our association, that will help us and the candidates to build name, face recognition in constituencies. We are right now in the middle of our candidates' training. It is going exceptionally well. We've had powerful speakers who have presented, and there's tremendous enthusiasm for the displayed by the amount of persons who have applied. We're going through the first cohort, which will be followed shortly by the second cohort of candidates. And so we are very excited at the numbers of persons who have signed up. So we have certainly well over 50 persons who have already indicated interest in running an initial batches presently in the courses and more to come. But with respect to the comments you made about differences between the Progressive Liberal Party and the Free National Movement, the difference is clear for this leadership team that is in place. We do appreciate that there are members of the public who do not see the clear differences, because we have a public that is deeply frustrated that there are some age-old issues that have not been dealt with fast enough or deeply enough, and they have concerns about what a change in government means to their individual lives. So we have to do a better job in the Free National Movement of stating as often as possible how we are different than the Progressive Liberal Party and how we will not only be an improvement over the Progressive Liberal Party, but how we would be an improvement over what we were just recently. Because if you're not improving as an organization, both in terms of the talent you make available, but also the approach to government, governance, then that's a problem. So leadership is not just about articulating what that vision is and plan of action and timeline. Leadership is also about style of leadership, because we have a population today that don't only want to know that you are competent, that you are clear on what the issues are, but that you will also govern in a way that includes their recommendations beyond the day of their vote, so that they are constantly engaged in the business of governance. That 39 cannot consistently be right on behalf of 500,000 if we believe we have a blind check and we could cash that however we want during the course of the 5 years after we've been elected. Mm-hmm. So we are different in we are an improvement. We will definitely be an improvement over this Progressive Liberal Party, and we will be an improvement over our most recent selves. We differ from this administration in that we do not believe that we ought to, again, take persons who we can facilitate their growth and development and enter into the private sector and be contributors because of this government's failure to be facilitators, to create opportunities or cause opportunities to be created for many of their supporters. They are creating employment by unemploying FNMs or people who perceive to be FNM. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, there could be growth, but it could be jobless growth. Mm-hmm. And in their case, one of the things that they have been guilty of is carnaging whole categories of workers. Mm-hmm. Urban renewal, social services is but one example. But you go across ministries, you would see persons who have been summarily dismissed. Again, the leadership team that we have in place is of a different mindset. We believe that merit ought to determine opportunities that you get and upward mobility through the system. The second thing that makes us different is that we believe that state-owned enterprises should not merely be, again, a place where government officials who are under tremendous pressure from their supporters seek to place persons whose skill set or work ethic may not be suitable for those state-owned enterprises. We ought to be looking at which state-owned enterprises we are able to enter into public-private partnerships with versus continuing to bloat them, even though the PLP in its blueprint for pain continues to talk about, we are going to reduce the amount of money that they put into the...
Did I hear correctly? Did you say blueprint for pain?
Yes, our deputy has popularized this phrase, and we adopt those and stand on that message. And so again, we believe that, for example, I served in the Ministry of Agriculture.
Yes,
we do not believe, as the PLP does, that packing houses ought to still be within the government's remit. We ought to empower entrepreneurs in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to run packing houses that can become distributors of products, various agriculture products, that can also be part of processing facilities, et cetera. We do not believe, again, that the feed mill, the government will waste money in its present plan with respect to the feed mill, that we should find suitably qualified agri-entrepreneurs, agriculturalists who are prepared to put together a consortium to attract persons with financial management skills and to produce feed not just for the existing group that benefits from the feed mill, but also to compete in the market for additional places where they can sell feed, whether it's to pet stores, whether it's to pets directly through their owners. We do not believe that the government should own the entire national slaughterhouse system, but that the government should be the primary regulators and have oversight to make sure that sanitary and phytosanitary conditions are met. But the private sector can be intimately involved with this in conjunction with the Veterinarian Association.
Let me touch it with you. I want to talk about this because the initial question was not necessarily the difference, the philosophical difference that exists within the PLP. If it's the leadership style, and we know that based upon your age, the demographic that you reach, like you indicated, your style, your approach, the swagger that you have, and in being able to identify for youth perspective, we know that you differ. But what exists in the organization, the Free National Movement, and it continues to exist within the PLP, is the juggernauts. These men of old that has a particular mindset, and when you find yourself in leadership, these are the people that support you to move towards leadership. Then when you find yourself in leadership, they could lend influence and say, Mike, maybe we should look at this. Mike, traditionally, this is what we have done. This has always worked. This is the way that we do these particular things. For the example that you brought to the forefront, the slaughterhouse system or from an agricultural standpoint, there is a tradition and a culture that it holds those down. The difference that I'd like to know is whether or not you're seeking to be able to supersede some of the traditions and being able to get to productivity and find true purpose for forward movement for the country in your position as leadership.
There are some traditions in the Free National Movement that we are very proud of and intend to continue. So, for example, we have a tradition of dedicating resources and time to developing the Family Islands, tremendously. Again, remember that to a large extent, former Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Ingram brought modernity. I mean, transformed the physical infrastructure of many family islands, whether it's with electricity, whether it's with roads, modern docks, etc. Yes. So this is not new. And of course, Hubert Alexander Minnis continued that tradition with Desmond Bannister by investing a remarkable amount of money in continuing the infrastructural work. So we will not be breaking new ground in this regard. What will be different, however, which would be a continuation of this kind of tradition, is one, we believe that infrastructural development is not confined to docks, to roads, to the extension of electricity in the traditional way, but we must now, and in this regard, the government's request for proposal for solarization projects in the Family Island is consistent with a view that we have expressed. We believe where they have gone wrong is they have not put together a holistic energy plan. But one component of such a plan is the solarization of Family Islands. BPL should not have a monopoly on the provision of electricity throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. There are economic opportunities and opportunities for greater effectiveness and efficiency in generation, transmission, and distribution in the Family Islands. And so we support competitive bidding that will permit others to be a part of generating and providing
diversification
without question, providing energy in the family islands. We also believe that we need to deepen the technology infrastructure in the family islands, that we have the kind of bandwidth that we can have telecommunication services, that those persons who are involved in the technology business, that all of the infrastructure, the fiber optic that is required throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, that we make this happen. And whenever we do capital development projects, the expansion of the technology infrastructure, we can do a lot of this through public-private partnerships because the government simply does not have the resources to do so. The difference, again, between the Free National Movement and the PLP is we believe that you ought to have a published position on what your PPP looks like, your public-private partnership. We published a paper when we were in government. This administration is involved in a host of PPPs without having dropped or improved upon any policy document. So you don't know on the basis of which they are entering into PPPs. You do not know the full term. You do not know oftentimes the amount of the contract. You certainly do not know the interest rate. You don't know if they could have gotten a better interest rate had they gone to IDB or some other source. And we know some of the contractors, and we believe some of them are exceptional. But the government is putting them in a bad position by failing to disclose the details of their arrangement with otherwise suitably qualified Bahamian contractors.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here talking with none other than the Honorable Michael Pintard, leader of the Free National Movement, being able to talk about the vision, the contrast, difference that exists, and casting a vision for the future for the Free National Movement and, by and large, the Bahamas. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Are you ready for the best of the best? Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group up for sound promotion, and Guardian Radio presents the best of the best Raken Script Explosion Concert. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Super Club Breezes Grounds ignite with Bahamian talent featuring KB, Gino D, Funky D, Veronica Bishop, The Brylanders, Avi, Elon Moxie, and Shine 242.
I know if you like whining.
Join the Falcons, Novi Pierre, Johnny Cake, Mama D, Nishi LS, Pat Rami, Stevie S, and Shad Colley, and the VIPs for an electrifying night of music and culture. Tickets are flying, so grab yours now. Available online at BahamasEtickets.com or swing by the Beauty Shack on Soldier Road and Carmichael Road. This is the event of the year. The best of the best Rake and Scrape Explosion at Breezes Resorts. Gates open at 6 p.m. Don't miss out on the Bahamian Magic.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, right here on this beautiful Monday, the 25th of March. We're 5-6 days away from being out the first quarter. I'm grateful to be able to have the guests in the studio with me today. We often have great conversations about what's happening and the contrast between leadership. And I think I have, we've been pushing the envelope significantly. And I think that that's kind of led to this conversation. I'm grateful for it. Even on Friday, just as we finished last to talk about the trip to Botswana, I want to start with this. We're here sitting with none other, like I said, the Honorable Michael Pintard, leader of the Free National Movement. I've said on Friday, and I just want to be very clear, that I believe that you are an extremely intelligent man. I've known you for a very long time. I've always been able to be enamored in the 90s with conversations and your poems and so forth and so on, and really being able to look at myself, being able to move up to leadership when I see young persons like yourself, young persons like Shivago Lang, articulate and being identified as the next dispensation of leaders by the then leader. And so I've always looked at you in those particular light. But now as you climb up, as you've moved through, matriculated to the Free National Movement, becoming the chairman, member of a parliament, senator, moving all the way up now to the leader of the Free National Movement, I'm asking myself whether or not that time has had a way with you, that because you still have the passion and tenacity, but today we want to talk about vision. I love the fact that you're coming here and talking about casting a vision for the Free National Movement. But what we've seen over the past, I want to say the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months, is a comparison between what the FNM would have done, what you would have done, and what the PLP does, right? The Botswana trip more specifically. For me, I looked at it and I said, this comparison doesn't necessarily make sense to me. And I think I thought about it before I came on the microphone. I thought about it in the light of what Hubert Ingraham would have done. Now, don't fight me. I know you and Hubert Ingraham, but I only know the leadership that existed in this particular nature. The first thing I said that Hubert Ingraham would say is, well, you know the nature of the PLP. This is the nature of the PLP. The Free National Movement congratulates Kingsley Smith in this particular capacity. And the Free National Movement wants the PLP to know that we're coming in 2026 and we're going to win that seat. And that would have been the long and short, in my mind, what he would have said, the impact would have been significant. And we know that victory was afoot because we saw it in 87 and we saw him come back in 92, right? In 87, when Hubert Ingraham, everyone was crying, oh, they stole the election. It was supposed to be the FNM and so forth and so on. They didn't have nothing to say that. They came back with the indelible link. They came back fortified in their position and they won in 1992. Talk to me about why the necessity for being able to give an expansion on the contrast that exists between the FNM and the PLP, and more specifically your leadership and what's happening now in the PLP.
Again, so Howard, over the last 15, 20 minutes, we have talked about the difference between
yes.
the PLP and the FNM, not just philosophical difference, but practical policy differences. And yeah. I outline our position is fundamentally different than the PLP on state-owned enterprises, fundamentally different than the PLP on entering into public-private partnerships. There should be a policy document that governs the behavior, and you should then govern yourself according to that policy document. We are different than them in terms of transparency. I fully believe that you ought to implement the Freedom of Information Act, which this government clearly has said that is not a priority for them. After having said earlier that it is a priority for them. We also believe that you ought to be accountable. You ought to go into the House of Assembly and answer questions when it's put to you on the most critical issues, how you spend the people's money, etc. And they have decided that they will cherry pick only a handful of questions. And so, again, this leadership that is in place, we are committed to doing that, to going into the House and answering questions so that the people of the Bahamas know what our priorities are, why we made certain decisions, what's behind the scenes that they were not privy to, and they could know that we are working in your interest and not in the interest of special groups. With respect to travel, we have not been critical of the government traveling in and of itself. We believe all administrations have to build relationships internationally. Some of that can be done through technology, Zoom, WebEx, et cetera, and some of it involves shaking hands, sitting at tables and engaging in discussions. our concern has been very, very laser focused. One, we believe that the prime minister and his ministers sometimes end up at meetings where, again, they had a colleague who could have easily managed that process. So if you're a prime minister, one way to judge whether you should be at a meeting is if you're showing up at the meeting and overwhelmingly there are ministers there rather than heads of states, that's a good indication that this is something that could have been executed by one of your cabinet ministers. When I served as a minister, oftentimes the technical team would say, "Minister, this is an important meeting, but we believe the ambassador in Europe, they can attend this meeting and put our case forward for us." Or they would recommend that we have another colleague who has the ability, that could be the permanent secretary, that could be the director of that particular area. So sometimes ministers are going to meetings where they are not necessary. The second part of travel that concerns us is often the PLP has these Gussie May delegations, these massive delegations. And when you examine the people who go, what their qualifications are or what their position is in the ministry, you find that they are not fit for that particular purpose that the trip is for. So you are paying for additional people to go. And part of that is the PLP is under pressure. They have lots of supporters and others that they have to satisfy who are crying, who are saying, "Listen, man, you benefit in this group and not this group." So some of these are opportunities to bless a few supporters versus persons who are going to be engaged in critical discussions that can yield benefits for the country later on. So that's the second, the additional concern that we have, the size of the delegation. And then, of course, given what the conditions are in the country at the moment, some trips would have to be foregone. Every politician in every country knows that if one of their colleagues who had a trip arranged decides not to come, that there could be something very serious that they are presently dealing with. But this government, They never see a first class they didn't like. They never saw an invitation to a country that they didn't think they could find a way to convince the public was useful. Sometimes you have to say, given the level of homicides in the country, the challenges we have, the need to build coalitions with faith-based organizations, NGOs, other organizations to coordinate a strategic plan to deal with this issue, I got to be home. Sometimes it's the same thing with Haiti. Right now we have a crisis in terms of the movement of potentially hundreds, if not thousands, of persons coming in this direction. It is very difficult for the prime minister to focus on a lot of our domestic matters while he is halfway around the world with a lot of the so-called talent with him. So that's what our concern is.
I like this.
We are them in that regard. We know priorities.
Okay, so you started to talk. You said this has gone to these particular, hypothetically providing an opportunity. When we look at it, we look at the fact that if there are more ministers, then that minister should not be in this. That you could have easily sent a minister. You could have easily sent someone to be able to represent us in this particular state. Now, I want to ask you this question. It's the first thing pop up. Do you believe that this actually speaks to the confidence or lack thereof that he has within his cabinet, the men and women that served at his pleasure, so forth and so on? Or do you believe that this is sort of the same aspect and idea of an opportunity to be able to go out and rub shoulders? I often say, right, and I really shouldn't say this with the prime minister, with the leader of the opposition sitting here in front of me, because I don't want to see that there's a contrast. But you know that the listening audience and I often say that there is concurrent campaigns that's running. This is what I say. There's a concurrent campaign that's running, that just from observation standpoint, as we look at our prime minister, there is a desire to be able to be here on the ground, but there's a desire to be across. And I say that there's parallel campaigns to be able to ensure that he places himself in a position as maybe the prime minister of climate change. I just want to be as decent as possible as I say these particular things. Now, when I look at this, I want to know from you, is this aspirations to finally get a chance to go to these particular places? Or do you believe this is, I don't necessarily have the confidence that men and women in my cabinet can be able to sit in this stead?
Well, you know, it's a rather confusing situation in that the prime minister has the largest portion of his cabinet, most of his ministers are new ministers. They've never served at this level before in government. So one would think that a prime minister that has a a number of ministers who are new to this level of responsibility would want to oversee the work of his cabinet, that is, provide oversight and guidance for them, mm-hmm. which would require him more often than not being home. Not to stay home and babysit them, but more often than not to make sure he is utilizing that the Tuesday meeting in a way to ensure that every one of them are working almost seamlessly with their permanent secretary and technical staff in executing. Note, the prime minister has, I believe he's ticking his bucket list of places he'd like to go. I think he's fallen in love with the international arena and what he perceives, the results that he perceives that he is achieving, which we don't believe the return on investment is consistent with what his P is saying. But I want you to get this point. The prime minister has, on multiple occasions, while traveling around the world, have had to check his ministers and contradict them on things that they have said midweek. Now, cabinet is held on Tuesday.
Yes.
Decisions are made about NIB on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And by Thursday, when the prime minister is leaving right after cabinet, first class to go to a trip. By Thursday, the prime minister is saying what this minister has said on NIB.
The office of the prime minister. Yeah.
And this isn't hypothetical.
Yeah.
By Thursday, Tuesday, decisions are made. Something of the gravity of the NIB rate, the initial amount and how much you're going to pay over 20 years.
Yes.
The prime minister calls back and contradicts it. This is the same minister, by the way, that the prime minister, when that minister was at BPL, that the prime minister was again traveling when that minister released a press release indicating we are going to have to raise the rate at BPL given the arrears, given monies we already owe for fuel, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
The prime minister again, while traveling, saying, no, we're not going to raise the rate.
Absolutely.
We are going to find a creative way of addressing this.
Absolutely.
Decision made on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Or at a minimum, cabinet apprised anything but electricity rate increase that has potential political implications. Hubert Minnis is not going to be making that particular decision on Tuesday or have a minister making that decision on a Tuesday without apprising colleagues. But by Thursday, the prime minister, from wherever he is on the globe, is saying, no, that's not the case. So here's a pattern of behavior. That on NIB, on BPL, on more than one occasion, a traveling prime minister has had to check his ministers. So the question is, are they talking with each other mm-hmm. about these critical issues on Tuesday? So mm-hmm. that when one of those ministers emerge in parliament or in the public domain, he or she is stating a shared position mm-hmm. that cabinet has arrived at. Mm-hmm. We are saying there is a communication problem in the cabinet of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas
mm-hmm.
because ministers are consistently contradicting each other in terms of the messages that they have shared. We've also had the case with the National Cruise Port. So the National Cruise Port, the Prime Minister and the Minister of Tourism, the Deputy Prime Minister, saying this is one of the most transformative developments that has impacted the tourism product, our number one industry, so much so that the majority or quite a few members of cabinet show up and extol the virtues of a project initially managed and developed by the FNM with a consortium. You then come back this afternoon, you now come back to Parliament and you have another minister saying this was the worst deal in the history
yes.
of the Bahamas. What are you agreeing upon your message is going to be on a Tuesday that now allows ministers to contradict the two principal officers?
Yeah, but we've seen that throughout the course of leadership in the PRP since 2021. We've seen that there's been a contrast that exists in the cabinet. The collective responsibility is not coming to the forefront. Being able to very clearly, if we're going to just right now provide a contrast to what existed for the last cabinet and this current cabinet, we knew that y'all collectively, if you didn't say nothing, that means that, okay, no, I don't speak on that. There's someone that's attached to speak on that more specifically. Even when you were going up to the doors of the cabinet just before you get to a meeting, they used to have a little small press, something there. They're always used to be someone dedicated to having those particular things. Now we're seeing ministers speak, despite the fact that we have the office of the prime minister, the press secretary, so forth and so on. There seems to be inconsistency coming out of the office of the prime minister, out of the cabinet for where we are in the country. So I want to agree with you in those particular instances. Now, when we get back, I want to talk to you about the contrast as to whether or not you're taking this down and being able to, you know, kind of jot your notes in preparation to etch in law the approach that we can take for there to be consistency. Because what I believe that the potential of what you can actually offer to the country is legacy for transformation and anti-corruption. I want to be as decent as possible as I say those things. So I want to talk about these things. Guys, we're here. The line's going to be wide open at 1 p.m. I want you to be able to join me and give us a call. I'd like you to be as decent as possible when we do this. Let's stay on course. Let's talk about these particular things. Let's do so with transparency. Write your questions down and give me a call. You know the numbers. I'm going to put them out right now. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up on the text line, 422-4796. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking with none other than the Honorable Michael Pintard, leader of the Free National Movement. We're going to take this quick commercial break, get to news, and be right back after this.
The foundation. The foundation.
Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into two juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and a spicy mayo sauce that adds bold flavor to every bite. Enjoy the new Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or if you're feeling extra hungry, try the King's Feast, available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
It's Easter time again, and it's time to stop by Paradise Fisheries, located at number 16 Harley Street, Mount Royal Avenue. We are now accepting those large orders for fish fries on Good Friday. So give us a call today at 325-3301 or stop by our stores between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday to Fridays and 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Paradise Fisheries, still your one-stop shop for all of those Easter desires.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. If you're just tuning in, I hope you were listening in. We had a very good conversation. We're going to dive deeper into it. We're speaking with none other than Honorable Michael Pintard, the leader of the Free National Movement, member of parliament for Marco City and Grand Bahama, and potentially the next prime minister of the country. I say potentially, let's be decent, fix that. Absolutely. You got to tell us, man. We're here talking with him and being able to do this. If you want to join in the conversation, I'd love you to do so. Give me a telephone call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Let me take this telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. You're on with us live.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Howard Grant. How are you?
I'm fantastic, my brother. What's happening?
It's all is well. It's Brian Brown, your man. All
hey, good. Brian. What's up, Brian?
All is well, man.
I see your headquarters is there. What do you want to open up?
Yeah, no. I ain't closing no time soon.
Praise God. What's up, Brian?
All is well, man. I see you got a great man on the show, Howard.
Absolutely.
Great man. And I just want to encourage Mr. Pintard and the team to continue to do the work that they do in the House of Assembly. They've been doing a great job, and I support them 100%. Whatever I could do to make sure that their job even get better, what they do, Howard, I'm there. Okay?
So tell me about what's happening down in Golden Isles.
In Golden Isles, this weekend we're going to have an Easter egg hunt for the kids. We normally do an annual Easter egg hunt this weekend on Saturday from 1 to 3. Mother's Day, we have a pre-Mother's Day breakfast for the mothers early in the morning. We're going to have a breakfast for them Mother's Day, and then we're getting ready for Camp Golden Isles for the kids when school closed. So we got some things going on and Golden Isles.
Come talk to me about it. You got my number. It seemed like you forget it.
No.
You need to stop and call me.
You need to start answering that
phone. No. Call me 827-0111. Someone give Brian my number.
I know where you live. Why don't you tell me
something? No, Brian, you don't know where I live. I don't live on there no more.
Listen, you want me to come to Boatswain and take the first
line? I am not in Boatswain no more. I move.
Yeah, well, see, you move and he let me know about my constituency so I can take you off my record.
I can call you then. I can call you. We can talk, my brother. Thanks for giving me a call.
Thank you.
Well, have a good one.
Okay. Well, everybody know now. I don't live in Golden Isles no more, but I'm here. I'm really being able to find out good conversations. I want to talk about the length and breadth of the country, whether or not there is a good chance for the Free National Movement to be able to get in 2026. Now, this is how I look. Now, I only look at the from a panoramic standpoint. As I step back, I look at this and I said, the PRP cannot make it to 2026. This is my calculation. This is only Howard Grant. I know mathematician and no economist like Shivago Lang, but I'm looking at this and I'm saying the PLP cannot make it to 2026. They can't. They can't in terms of the support that they render from the people. Now that they are on a perceived high, it may be strategic for them to be able to possibly go to a next general election. What you said, September 17th, is a strong thing. Talk to me about that.
I didn't understand your point about they are on a perceived high. I mean, because right now this government is in battle. They're in battle because they have about 4 to 5 different stories on whether or not the Ministry of Finance and the Prime Minister's office has leased, rented, or purchased or borrowed a vehicle. And they should talk about 2 vehicles, the one recently acquired and the one in 2022. Could you imagine for a moment that there's a different version of the story from the chairman of the PLP, from the financial secretary, from the office of the prime minister? I'm flabbergasted. And then to hear the childish response of the chairman of the PLP, do we want him to war? No, we do not want our prime minister to war. We also don't want him to be in a tricked out vehicle as if he is a hip hop mogul when there are people who are being taken off the food program, when there are persons who haven't been able to get rental assistance having applied for the last 2 years and they meet the criteria given their level of vulnerability. When there's an absence of medication in a number of our health facilities and an absence of equipment needed to carry out important health checks on our citizens, particularly our women who require mammogram tests, who there may be internal scans that are required, and the equipment is simply not there. When we have a shortage by more than 300 nurses and medical practitioners, we expect a government to, again, have a set of priorities that will be beneficial for the empowerment of our people. Not $200,000 going to an award ceremony, slapping up and patting on the back when they're getting awards. This is about changing people's life. People did not go to the polls, people in the Progressive Liberal Party did not sell macaroni and cheese and whole cookouts to take their leadership, to put it on their shoulder, to elevate them in the House of Assembly or the Senate for them to go on safari trips. That's not what people envision. What mothers in Bain Town in Marco City, in Central Envision, is that they would have a leadership that prioritized, again, reducing the kind of strain that they have on themselves with high food costs that they are experiencing. They would not have expected a near doubling of their electricity rate because Alfred Sayers and the Prime Minister did not take basic advice to lock in a rate for electricity that was predictable for businesses mm-hmm. but good for families. Mm-hmm. So again, this is a government that's lost its way in terms of priorities. And finally, let me say that the business community never expected that they could have had so many decisions made that had made life more difficult. They're requiring you to report much earlier to, again, make sure that you audit accounts. In some cases, there are some businesses only doing business with government, so the government know what their revenue is, and yet they're required to have an audited account. And as a small business person, I may wish to open a business. Now you're trying to make me a compliance officer. I got to check to see if my landlord paid his or her NIB. There are some persons who may have a legitimate query about their NIB status, yet they are unable to enter into a new contract with government because, again, they can't get a letter of satisfaction from NIB. So the government is putting a burden on businesses through having portals that no longer work properly. And even when the procurement portal work, they are single sourcing, giving the contracts to other people. So you don't even have a chance to enter a bid. So, you know, this is an administration that's embattled. So when you make the point that on a high note, I'm not certain Proceed. What that high note is, because I know the medicinal marijuana bill has not been passed yet.
So I don't know what high they are.
Let's make it
but
make sense.
But I
want
to talk to you about this, though. In 2017, guys, I see a telephone call as I come to that right now. In 2017, the Free National Movement came in and placed on the table what our expectations can be, even with the construction of a delivery unit, started to talk about campaign finance reform, started to talk about two terms for prime minister, started to talk about these kind of ideas of what our expectations could be from the freedom of information. All these particular things that we saw in 2017 led us to this position of looking with great anticipation that the Free National Movement would be the government that actually takes away all of this malarkey, this gray area as it relates to moving towards leadership in this country or leadership in this country. And that didn't happen. That did not happen.
All of it did not happen. But don't say, because there were a number of, we thought, important decisions that were made that were beneficial. I think post-Dorian, one of the things that occurred post-Dorian, particularly in Grand Bahama, over 2,000 families were impacted favorably, whether it's with 2,500, 5,000, 7,000, or 10,000, and helped in a number of ways. The Progressive Liberal Party has touched less than 150 homes since they have been in power. And think about it. Dorian occurred in 2019. Yeah. We were kicked out of office at the end of it. So we were kicked out of office in 2021, less than 2 years later. But that's the amount of homes we've impacted. This government has now been in for 2.5 years and have touched less than 150 homes. So again, we did commendable work in some areas of Dorian, and in other areas, the public know that we could have done better, and we didn't, and we paid the price in Abaco and in Grand Bahama by losing, in between both of them, four important seats. In COVID, again, while in some cases there were things we ought to have done and a style that we should have taken an approach in how we communicated and interacted with the public that we could have done some things fundamentally different, let's not completely throw out what was accomplished in terms of no Bahamians losing their job, an attempt at providing adequate food for persons who needed it, an attempt to keep businesses afloat by incentivizing them to keep their employees employed. So again, there were some things that were accomplished. The fact that we are out of office, I do not make the case that the Bahamian public eyes and feelings betrayed them. The truth is, persons detected some things we did and things we did not do that did not endear us to them, and therefore they wanted to give some other people a try or not be involved in the election process because they couldn't see the PLP being better. And they were not pleased with us, so they stayed at home. But that does not discount some of the accomplishments. This administration has been in Howard, think about it, for 2.5 years.
Yes.
Have seen some of the mistakes that we have made. and have not done. They've not been a good resource for people.
But they've already said to us, there's no expectation that we're going to do what the FNM did. No, they know that we are different from the FNM.
Correct. They said that they would perform in a manner that would eclipse. And in fact, they are claiming today that what they have done in 2 years eclipses what we have done in 4.5 years. I'm saying in housing,
they talk about it from a tourism standpoint.
They haven't done anything in tourism.
From a tourism standpoint, they came out and started to talk about the numbers, 8.6 million people.
So let me help you with that.
Okay.
All of the reports that we are familiar with and trust, whether you want to look at central banks' analysis, whether you want to look at the various credit or rating agencies, mm-hmm. everyone projected that the economy was rebounding prior to the change of election. So the 14.4%, this didn't come as a result of one single PLP policy. The economy was open.
I said that, but I got to put it on the table for
you. The pent-up demand had persons traveling from the eastern seaboard of the United States and from Canada, and the PLP were beneficiaries. We are happy that they were beneficiaries in that. If Bahamian people are going back to work, an increased number of tourists are coming as a result of policies the FNM left in place, then we accept that. That's fine. But today, the projected revenue or the projected economic growth for the Bahamas is somewhere between 1.1% and 1.8%. So we have moved from 14.4. We dropped down to about 4% or in excess, a little over 4%. The government initially projected that they're going to grow at 5.5% and then quietly put in the documents to agencies that would know better, well, we expect somewhere around 1.1. So they themselves know that the economy is not growing at the rate required to absorb people who are coming out of school, to take care of those persons who are unemployed or discouraged workers. They also know that they are not generating sufficient revenue to cover all of the additional expenses that they have now heaped on our backs. That is the quite possibly 100+ consultants that they have hired, persons they have brought out of retirement, paying them both pension as well as a new salary. They don't have enough money to pay many of the service providers and contractors who are doing business for government. That's why they're paying some of them piecemeal while they are settling a number of private settlements with friends of the government without disclosing to us what that amount is. So this is a government that is cash-strapped, but finds resources when it suits their particular interests. Their priorities are wrong, I'm Howard.
Okay. Let me take some telephone calls, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk a little bit about these particular things. I want to talk a little bit more about it from an educational standpoint. We've just seen something from the IDB indicating that from a science and technology standpoint that we are significantly behind from 2020 to 2024 to 2028. They just put out some information from the IDB indicating from an educational standpoint that we're not prepared. I want to talk about that because I know prior to the pandemic, the Free National Movement has taken on a position with Jeffrey Lloyd to indicate that we were on an uptick. There was an embattlement. There was sort of a fighting internally between Belinda and the then Minister of Education. Now we're looking at this report and indicating that they're not in the position. I want to ask you some questions after I get this telephone call as to whether or not you envision anything from an educational standpoint to be able to fortify that. Let me take the telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man.
Good afternoon. I just want to say that from as a young Bahamian, I feel inspired. Just to hear Mr. Pinta talk, he speaks with clarity. He speaks decisively. I think that's what kind of leader we're looking for in the Bahamas right now. He continues to say the same things, so he's consistent. And I think as a resident of Grand Bahama, I can say without a shadow of a doubt that Mr. Pinta not only talks the talk, but he walks the walk in terms of helping people. I'm talking about the downtrodden, the needy. But not only that, persons who want to get into business, Mr. Pintard has been there to fund their businesses. Mr. Pintard has been there to make sure that they have guidance on how to go about making their business a success. And so this is not someone who, I believe, just wants his job to see he has a job. I believe if people go look at his history, they will see that this person has been in the trenches working with people all his life. You know, he reminds me of a young Obama when they said that he had this grassroots movement. That's what I believe Pintard will bring to prime ministership. And so I wish him all the best. I hope that he is the next prime minister to come out of the Bahamas. No offense to the current prime minister, but I think his time has passed, and I think we need a new generation of leadership, and I think we will get that with Pintard. And so I'm hoping that I'm alive in 2026, and my vote will go to the Free National Movement, and I support Michael Pintard 100%, and I'm hoping and praying by the grace of God that he's the next prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
I do appreciate your telephone call. Caller on the line, go ahead. Go ahead, caller on the line. Next telephone call, caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Mike.
Turn your radio down.
Yeah, okay. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
Listen, I thank God for the man of God and the next leader of the country of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Mr. Pintard, I just want you to know that I have been TLP, I've been DNA. You got my vote.
Thank you,
I will
my
be
brother.
Voting for you in the next election.
God, I appreciate God. You, my brother. Thank you so very kindly. We do appreciate that. And he didn't even have to ask for your voting card. He's like a decent man. Praise God, right? Let me take the next telephone call. Caller on the line, go ahead.
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah.
You're on with me, baby. Don't push nothing. Go ahead, talk.
Yeah, good evening.
Oh, hey, how you doing,
hello,
sir?
Hello, Mr. Pintard.
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, sir? Go ahead.
Mr. Pintard, I am concerned about the fact that you, as leader of the Free National Movement, are you prepared to serve with a third party if you're elected? And secondly, you gave an eloquent speech the other day, a couple of Sundays ago, that you left Mr. Davis bumbling, like Mr. Bumble. And I salute you for that. However, the thing that disturbs me most of all is the fact of the oil spills in Granville Holland, whereby, and I believe, that the Statoil oil had got a slap on the wrist from the previous government, the present government, and they paid them off, and all is well. But all is not well, Mr. Pintard.
Were you calling from Granville Holland?
20,000 people displaced in Grand Bahama that need medical assistance because of the oil spill.
Are you calling from Grand Bahama, sir?
No, I am calling from Nassau.
Okay. So you say that 20,000 people are displaced in Grand Bahama?
Yes, because
this is statistically,
of the oil
spill. That's not incorrect. That's incorrect information, sir.
And those matters have to be addressed and corrected.
I appreciate your telephone call.
Suing them, sue them.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate your telephone call. I think there's incorrect stats that you're being able to put to the forefront. We know that a lot of persons from Hurricane Dorian has left both Grand Bahama and Abaco, but we know that the Free National Movement during their particular time and now the PLP are moving towards ensuring that they could put the proper infrastructure to get those persons back. I don't believe that we're at 100%. I'm sure that we could provide, get more information for that. But to say that 20,000 people have been displaced in West Grand Bahama, I mean, in East Grand Bahama, I think is inaccurate.
Definitely the figure cannot be correct. What was the issue with respect to the oil spill is the number of businesses in the immediate area that was negatively affected. Those persons who we had given leases to, who were on agriculture land and who had either crops or other equipment on property, some of those persons were affected. And then, of course, opportunity cost, that is, what income in the future they are foregoing because of damage to the soil or to their operation. And so a number of those persons are now pursuing a legal action in order to be compensated. And I do believe that they should be compensated by by the company. But in terms of residents that were, and then, of course, there were companies that had aggregate, that actually had P-Raw, rock or sand or construction material that were on site, that they too experience damages, and they, I know, are pursuing legal action and should be compensated. But in terms of 20,000 per, I mean, Grand Bahama has a population now probably of around 55,000 or so. So in the east, that's that. The figure is really just not accurate. But it does not mean we should not find a way to grow the economy of Grand Bahama, welcome persons in whether as second home owners.
That's the conversation I think you and I should have specifically.
Correct. And I would love to come and have a conversation about that. I thought, I'll just only say this then. The central government, the Progressive Liberal Party government, by having this public row, the prime minister and the chairman, with the Grand Bahama Port Authority, they have done us in Grand Bahama a tremendous disservice. They've created tremendous uncertainty among present and potential investors.
I agree with you.
Do believe that the model of governance in Grand Bahama at the municipal level, the GBPA level, has to change.
Yeah.
And in other words, we should expand the shareholders.
I think GBPA would agree with you also in this particular position.
Yes, but we want to hear them on the record talk about the willingness to welcome additional Bahamian shareholders, licensees, and others who can buy shares in the physical assets. In terms of the regulatory environment, central government should not take over the regulatory environment in Freeport. We would be in trouble in terms of the certainty of business approvals, given how tribalistic this government is, where politics influence some of the most fundamental decisions we do not want. And I don't believe Progressive Liberal Party supporters will even support this government being in charge of the regulatory function. So neither the assets or the regulatory functions the central government should be trusted with. So we should we'll come back to that. Let me how about I'll just pause just to say this one thing.
He started to say something as it relates to serving third the third party.
That's the third party. I don't anticipate, with the greatest respect, I think there are some talented Bahamians who are neither FNM or PLP. The swing voters is a growing demographic in the Bahamas, and both parties would do well to respect those persons who are not diehard FNMs or PLPs. We believe the case we will make about running a government that is fair to Bahamians in general, that believes in a meritocracy, that believes that government should not be bloated, but that government should be facilitators and not the originators of programs and the main source of employment. I believe we will appeal to many of those persons who are in the middle, and they would see that we are prepared to make sure that all Bahamians can get a piece of the pie, and that you don't, what you don't do is what the PLP is doing. They are simply redistributing this pie among many of people who are their loyalists, and not all, because not all PLPs are rated by this administration. They have a select group who they are taking care of. We believe that collectively as a country, we should grow the pie. There should be economic growth with development, meaning that we create opportunities for more Bahamians to do well. And that's why competitive bidding is important, so that you don't have a select group that you
already transparency.
And transparency. Well, the government has already said that they're not committed to that. But I wanted to make the point that Deputy Prime Minister Cooper had 2.5 years to get a sale for Grand Lucayan, which he beat us up about. Remember, yes. Dorian occurred in the end of 2019. So we had 2020 and 2021. So let's just say 2 years. He had 2.5 years and have not been able to successfully sell the hotel. He's given multiple dates for the transformation of the airport. They have moved from a public-private partnership formula for the Grand Bahama Airport, and $400 million is being the price tag for the airport and the creation of a berm. They are now down to $80 million. And we still don't know if it's a true public-private partnership. So for all of their talk about their brilliance and willingness to work on our behalf, they have very little to show for it, particularly in places like Grand Bahama.
Guys, when we get back, we're going to talk about this further. I'd like to find out a few more things as it relates to what's going to happen in Grand Bahama and talk about this kind of an idea that you have for the next. I'd like to know also how Michael Pinchot in his particular position as leadership is going to attract these swing voters. Let's talk about that. Quick commercial break. Be right back after this.
The Foundation.
This Easter, from March 29th to April 3rd, witness history in the making at the Betty Kellen Kenning Aquatic Center. Cheer on Team Bahamas as we dive into history, swimming our way towards a sixth straight victory at the Charifta Aquatics. Feel the thrill of competition as 500 athletes from 24 countries from across the Caribbean converge in the Bahamas for the championship title. Immerse yourself in the greatest youth athletic spectacle being held in the Bahamas this year. Watch live as champions are born, records are shattered, and dreams are realized. The Charifta Aquatics isn't just a competition. It's a showcase of the future of swimming right in the heart of Nassau. Mark your calendars. This Easter, March 29th to April 3rd, the Charifta Aquatics at the Betty Kellenkenning Aquatic Center. See ticket information and full schedule at CharIftaAquatics.com. See you at the poolside.
Spring into action this spring and enjoy 2 weeks of savings with BWF. Entertaining, landscaping and beautifying the yard, or just relaxing and enjoying the outdoors. Shop BWF for fantastic spring savings this Easter of up to 20% off. Thursday, March 21st through Saturday, April 6th. Red hot savings on appliance combo specials, kitchen and outdoor cooking supplies, grills and griddles, outdoor stoves and fryers, Corningware and chafing dishes, assorted ice and water coolers, floral decor, bunnies, bear and baskets, outdoor benches and lawn and garden supplies, and so much more. BWF, where we are more than just our name. Number 13 Wilton Street, telephone 394-0004 or 6. Open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Bahamas Welding and Fire. Check us out on Facebook and we ship to the Family Islands.
Start your day off with a mouth-watering deal. Available only at Wendy's. Introducing our new weekday breakfast deal that gives you a choice between three delicious items for just $3. You heard right. Monday through Thursday mornings, you get a choice between our bakery bliss croissant, breakfast baconator, or a three-piece pancake meal. Each only $3. Stop by your nearest Wendy's today. Better mornings always start at Wendy's.
Ready to score big? Alive is bringing you March Madness. From incredible deals on Ring devices to amazing deals on iPhones, Nokia, TCL, and more, Alive has everything you need to stay connected and save big. And that's not all. Enjoy free data, prepaid plan bundles, exclusive event tickets, and more. Deals end March 31st. Visit BeAlive.com or follow us on our social media at We Are Alive to stay in the know. Score big with Alive this March season. Don't miss out.
We need to talk, and it's about something pretty important, your NIB contributions. For nearly 50 years, NIB contributions from hardworking Bahamians have supported families and individuals alike. But Bahamian families have changed. Families are having fewer children. This means less workers are entering the workforce and making contributions. And with Bahamian retirees living longer, pension payments have also increased. As a result, payouts have gone up, continuously exceeding contributions coming in, resulting in a deficit. That's why, starting on July 1st, 2024, both employers and employees will have to pay a little extra to sustain this national lifeline. The July 1st rate increase is our way of ensuring that NIB benefits are available for generations to come. We all have a role to play, and it starts with investing in tomorrow, today, with NIB.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, here on this beautiful Monday afternoon, having a good conversation with none other than Michael Pinchot. I might as well tell you I'm enjoying this conversation. I really am. I thought that there's going to be some cussing involved, right? No. For me, right? Yeah, because I have, listen, Michael, I can be honest with you. I have taken on a very strong position as to what my expectations are from you, only because I know you, only because I've seen these particular things, only because I know your potential. And I believe that if you and your, and it'll sound like I support the Free National Movement, sound like I support you, but I do believe in the strength of democracy. I do believe that we, the Bahamian people, needs a viable option to identify. We've seen the transition from leadership to leadership of the Free National Movement being able to take on the image and the spirit of its leader. I know the image, spirit, and the consistency that you have, but I don't know whether or not that's translated at this time within the organization. I'm glad that you're coming here to flesh these particular things out. I get a lot of texts and a lot of calls, persons calling in and saying that I believe that you're the guy. I believe that he's the guy with transparency. I want to be able to support him. I got a tremendous amount of texts here. I'm going to read the text in a few minutes for you guys to talk about those things. So I'd like to say to you, with full transparency, I've always lent constructive criticism because I believe that if you don't provide a very stark contrast and difference that exists between the FNM and the PLP, then you can possibly be swallowed up, no pun intended to TD Jakes, you can be swallowed up by the marketing and the campaign, the paraphernalia, so forth and so on, as it relates to the next general election. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, no, I think that you have a very limited media source, and therefore you have obviously missed that each time we have critiqued the government, we have also provided alternative recommendations, whether it was on the issue of NIB. We have been the most dominant voice on the BPL saga and talking about the success under the Minister Administration that provided predictable costs for electricity that was ended because this government failed to execute the hedge, didn't pursue the rate reduction bond, which I regret we did not complete prior to us demitting office. And so we have talked about it in crime. We, as it relates to crime, we don't believe any government created it, but we believe when you're in the chair, you have a responsibility to coordinate the various stakeholders. And we submitted in writing to the government a long list of recommendations from prevention to policing and interdiction to punishment and rehabilitation. And now we're running programs in the community as our contribution to this. Every spokesperson in the FNM in the parliament, what their assignments are, we have the list of all of those persons who speak primarily for us. So it is imposing, we also propose. And let me say this. And so we believe that information is in the public domain, but when we hear criticisms, our response, the response of myself, of Shannon Cartwright, our deputy, of our chairman, and our parliamentary team, our response is, how can we do it better? Because if you're criticizing, we don't want to question your motives. Maybe you're not hearing it. So we need to say it louder and more frequently, and we intend to do so. But we do propose the way forward rather than just critique what the government is doing wrong.
I like this.
As it relates to the economy, we have said that this government lacks a proper fiscal plan. There's always a contradiction with the Davis administration between the fiscal strategy report, mm-hmm. which by law they're required to put out, mm-hmm. and the actual steps that they are taking to follow the fiscal strategy report. And mm-hmm. what we have said is what the law says, that if you're going to deviate in a substantial way from your fiscal strategy report, and you're noticing that your deficit is going to be much larger than what you had initially projected, you have an obligation now to come and explain what accounts for the variance between the wide gap between your projected deficit, that is, that you find yourself, you're spending far more than you know you will take in. Mm-hmm. This government doesn't come back to Parliament to have those discussions. In fact, they just now are being forced to lay that fiscal strategy report in the House because they released it the first time online. Mm-hmm. And so they lack a fiscal strategy because, again, the deficit, they have busted their numbers in terms of the deficit. They also lack an economic plan. They fail to outline how they would not only grow the economy, because you could have economic growth, but that doesn't mean that the man or woman in Bayntown will feel the impact of it. To your point about 9 million tourists coming, but ask the straw vendors if they believe they're seeing their fair share of it.
Yes.
Ask the businesses on Bay Street or just
taxi
over
drivers.
The hill. Ask the taxi drivers. Yeah. Are they experiencing the impact?
No.
So it's one thing. I could tell you in Port Lucaya, people are hurting. The downtown Man Bahama, like in Nassau, they are hurting.
Yeah.
And so what you have is economic growth, but not development.
I did a show from Grand Bahama and they indicated the exact same thing.
Of course.
They said that we did an entire week in Grand Bahama, right? We called it the rejuvenation tour. And we've identified a great deal of people including straw vendors, to tell us whether or not they're feeling the impact.
Correct.
And they indicated to me that they haven't.
And they did.
And a lot of them are PLP supporters.
But, yeah, of course. In fact, it is those persons who have indicated that, listen, We glad some grants are being given out, but we have a problem that the grants are going to the very same persons. What about the rest of us?
Yes.
All of us are part of the creative economy and deserve grants. How is it that one select group of people continue to be repeat recipients of the grant? And so, again, this is where we are different. Shannon Dawn Cartwright and myself won in two seats that are not traditionally FNM.
You agree?
That have changed hands fairly consistently. And a part of why we are in other colleagues who are in seats that have been traditionally won by FNMs is that people perceive we will take care of all Bahamians regardless of the color that they wear.
You've and shown so that we on the ground.
Of course.
You've shown that in Marco City. You've shown that in St. Barnabas. And there is an expectation and a quiet desire that you show it to the entire country.
Without question. And so we believe the Prime Minister has missed an opportunity to govern for all Bahamians. He has permitted the tribalism that has been a part of his organization, that have been a part of Bahamian politics, to swallow him up and pandering to some of the voices that are complaining and asking for more, those that already have a lot. And whereas what he should be doing is ensuring that a wider cross-section of Bahamians benefit from the resurgence of the economy because of the pent-up demand that existed after COVID. That's why he should follow the competitive bidding process. That's why he should not be engaged in so many private discussions and single sourcing, picking one particular company who's going to succeed at the next level. That's what's wrong with his formula at BPL right now, that he is disadvantaging. I've had a chance to meet with one of the potential companies that will be involved in any new configuration of disadvantaging them. Because a company like that with the talent that they have, the experience that they have, are likely to be successful in a competitive bidding. But when you rob them of a chance to be in a competitive bidding, you also then rob other potential persons, and then you cast a cloud over people who otherwise should not have a cloud over their head, given all that they have contributed and can potentially contribute to the country. Yeah. So the Prime Minister with his process.
Yeah.
Is wrong for not having a candid discussion with the country about the way forward for BPL. How are we going to deal with the legacy debt? How will we fix the infrastructure? How will we refine the workforce? And then how will we get new monies to make sure that we can have solarization in those islands where it would work best, et cetera? He's failed to meet the standard in terms of providing leadership on the way forward for
BPL. But I said this at the top of our conversation. Within the organization, there are persons, whether they start with councils, where they are meritorious council members, these are persons that hold significant position. They are called the juggernauts of the organization. These juggernauts of the organization lend advice to leadership that says, let's retain this position. I've often said that Prime Minister Brave Davis in his particular capacity and other prime ministers in his age group and category are cut from a different cloth. Their cloth is a traditional community cloth, that their allegiance is to this particular thing. They are the persons that were responsible for the infrastructural development. The next dispensation of leadership needs to be able to look at the intangibles. How do we build the human man back? How do we build these particular mindsets to be able to get to a place of progression and growth? I've always seen that and expect that from you based upon your youth, based upon these particular things. When you find yourself in this position, when we're looking at BPL, you're going to have to be able to make a very strong decision. And it's going to be very strong as you move towards leadership and move towards leadership as the country's prime minister. Because there are families, there are persons that hold these positions and wish to be able to hold on to the monopoly of these things as we move forward. Are you willing to be able to break up the monotony of those monopolies?
We have an obligation to make sure that far more Bahamians own a piece of the rock, inclusive of the BPLs of this world. That you will not create 10-generation wealth for those that are already wealthy without there being a formula for Bahamian ownership in a broad way. We've had sufficient models in the country that have allowed Bahamians to buy in, to become shareholders. And Ingram used to talk, former Prime Minister Ingram used to talk a lot about a shareholder society. This is not a new concept that Mr. Davis' speechwriters found. This has been around for decades, and we have done it in any number of public public projects. You have the port, the recent deal that was shepherded by Kalina with the port. You have Bahamians were able to buy into it. You had the Arawak port. You've had Commonwealth Brewery. There's a whole host of developments where Bahamians were able to buy shares in BTC.
Yes.
And so on. We now need to make sure we expand the number of Bahamians that can buy in. We need land reform, and we'll come back and talk about that when I revisit you
I
again.
Want to do this.
But there is a need for more Bahamians to own a piece of the land.
Yeah.
There are persons who are coming from distant lands taking over Bahamian land.
Absolutely.
And we have a narrow group that's making a decision on when you could get a lease arrangement and when you could get crown land, even though you have been on that land for more than 25 years.
Yes.
Which in a productive way, which is a clear criteria for you being able to be given a crown grant. And so we are determined, and this is what will make us different from this crew. We won't have a select narrow group making those determinations. Prime ministers, in my mind, are entirely too busy to be sole signatories
around
crown grant.
Would you give the autonomy? Would you give the autonomy to these groups to make the decisions?
Of course, there is a need. I mean, and there are many ways to do it even within the cabinet concept. I mean, you could have a subcommittee of cabinet that reviews a list prepared by public servants who can submit recommendations on whether lease as well as crown grants. And I think the boards of BAIC can make the determination about leases there. But crown grants, you can have a group that puts together that list with a review by a subcommittee of cabinet and move more quickly to make sure that Bahamians are able to take advantage of land ownership opportunities. Let me just say these two other things. One is we believe in campaign finance reform, and I'm glad I've had a chance to have discussions with a number of our colleagues about the way forward with respect to that. So that the powerful and the moneyed, and sometimes people say the pedigree, can't determine exactly what policies of governments would be on the basis of the amount of contribution financially they can make to an organization. And so we are committed to that. We're committed to matrimonial adjustments in the act so that there can be no fault divorces. There are far too many people trapped in relationships. They are not good for each other. They are potentially dangerous to each other. But the grounds for divorce may not include the grounds that truly are tearing them apart. And so people have to then fabricate reasons as to why this relationship should end, which often means defamation or damaging each other's character. So we need to take a serious look at when persons, where there are irreconcilable differences, despite persons' desire to be together, despite the prayers and counseling that they are able to separate without harming each other or the children that are part of these relationships.
What about terms for prime minister? Do you believe in that?
The Free National Movement is committed to that, and we should have passed it. We will not make that mistake.
We've had enough conversation about, from an external standpoint, the contrast that exists within there. I can take these few minutes and talk to you about the internal contrast. There are a number of persons that call that still support former leader in his particular capacity. We've had conversations with him in his particular capacity as member of parliament for Kalani and former leader of the Free National Movement, Hubert Minnis. And we've asked him whether or not he has any desire to be able to move towards this position of leadership. Again, he said, Howard, there is no vacancy in this position. There's no need to talk about it. That has been his constant position. Talk to me about it.
So any reason why you're talking about it, having heard that?
No, I want no from you.
I'm just asking you.
As we moved, because you didn't say you got to prepare now before September 17th.
No question. Anyone that's interested, it's a democratic organization. Recall now, prior to this dispensation of the FNM, I don't think a convention was held for 6 years.
Yes.
Just so that, and I don't remember you having said that in any of your previous conversations about a convention. So it's for the sake of completeness, it's important that you provide this information in my absence. We believe it's important to go through that process. It'll be the last convention prior to the general election. And if the members of the council and associations would have me, it would be an honor to continue to serve. And we have tremendous talent at multiple levels. So there's no one man or woman that have the capacity to run the Free National Movement. I believe that we have a deep bench. And at the end of the day, I fully expect that come convention, I'll continue to lead the organization, and we'll be successful in the next general election. And so we are excited about an opportunity to do some fundamentally different things in this country. We have a lot of smart Bahamians who the arrogance of this politics has forced folks that the moment after getting elected, they transform into experts on all matters. We're not going to have that affliction. I certainly know the persons I work with in the parliamentary caucus do not have that affliction. Certainly, Shannon Dawn and I could not have had that affliction and be successful in swing seats in Marco City and St. Barnabas. I certainly know the chairman of St. Barnabas
is a PLP seat.
Yeah.
Right? And so for him to be able to win that, I know that I agree with what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can take one more telephone call before we get in here. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller, you're on the line with us live.
Hi, right, good afternoon. How you doing, Albert?
Hey, Anton. What's up?
Why you say it like that, man?
No. I said no way. Hey, Anton, what's up?
Yeah,
I laugh. Anyway. I smile to myself because I know you was going, go on, what's happening with you?
Good afternoon, Anton. Good to hear you, my brother.
Yeah, always good to hear you as well, even though we are on opposing teams.
Well, temporarily, I think you have enough time to make the adjustment, and so I'm holding out hope, man.
You better keep holding.
That as you vote for what is in the best interest of PLP supporters, you'll support new leadership because we're good for both FNMs and PLPs and others.
I'm telling that's a good invitation. Go ahead.
How was you were saying? You ain't say what? but nonetheless. I certainly won't have enough time to delve into a lot of the points that you made during the course of the conversation, some of which I could stomach, some of which I don't agree with. But I would pin all of my conversation on two questions.
Yes,
Mr. Pendrad.
Yes, sir.
Looking forward, you have persons within your organization who would have been a party to Modest that went on to the Supreme Court in matters of victimization, where the individuals would have succeeded at the Supreme Court level. Will you have those kinds of individuals?
Are you able to cite the case in terms of victim? Because I don't remember specific cases related to victimization. Are you able to cite what you're referring to, please?
Just have a general question. In instances where persons ended up at the Supreme Court level,
yes,
and the Supreme Court level would have found on the side of those persons who file a case of being victimized, and looking within your organization at persons who would try to put themselves forward to the Bahamian people again, would you be finding for those kinds of individuals who are shorty on character, right, as the Supreme Court would have found, or persons who would have found themselves running afoul of cabinet procedures, would you find it in yourself to put those persons on your ticket if you are successful, of course, at your convention in October and moving into the general election 2025, 2026. Would you be seeing fit to put those kinds of persons on your ticket? And the second question being, listening to all you would have said today, right, and juxtaposing that to your first opportunity as the leader of the party as the leader of the FNM at an election, although be it only for a constituency seat, what is your reasoning that you would give to the Bahamian people as to why your message didn't take root in Grand Bahama and the results ended up being where the member who was successful, Brother Kingsley Smith, was successful by a massive amount of votes. Despite there was a low voter turnout, he's still the representative and he still won by a massive amount of votes.
What you're saying is incorrect, actually. He did not win by...
This is the second time you say that.
Anton.
I'm not going to let you go. Just listen in.
Anton, it's not a massive victory. I believe the margin was slightly over 800 in a constituency where the entire 800 is, by the way, some of us, when we won the last time, we won by 1,700 votes going up against substantial resources. But in this case, you're talking about a little over 800 votes having brought the entire cabinet, including ministers of state, parliamentary secretaries, even some public servants down, having spent a remarkable amount of public money and having committed though we don't see the evidence since the election of the transformation that was talked about, which included, again, massive home repairs. Again, there was a promise of infrastructural development, plugging the potholes in 8 Mile Rock. That right now today, members of the community are attributing to any number of accidents, including accidents that has caused damage to people's lives. And I'll leave it there. Including transforming public buildings in the area. We are still waiting. We drive through the park that the government promised to transform. Despite the promises made and the millions spent, both on the party side and the government side, I don't consider the margin of victory. What I do know as being massive, what I do know is you will not be able to replicate that across 39 constituencies. Even though the government tends to have far more government resources and private funding due to the kinds of relationship they cultivate while in government, we do not believe you'd be able to replicate it. And furthermore, the public has an opportunity to see the governance of the Progressive Liberal Party. And I do not believe that the government is going to be in a strong position. And so the first question you ask is purely hypothetical. I sought to get you to indicate specifically, so I don't need to speak to a hypothetical, but in terms of what happened in West End and Grand Bahama, we pray we could see more and hear more from the member of parliament who has been elected, because surrogates cannot do his job for him. He needs to be in the ground doing the work that is required. And right now, his presence is not felt in West Grand Bahama and Bimini.
Anyone who won the West Grand Bahama and Bimini seat midterm is going to have a very hard time when you're leading up to general election, because the promises that the government has made, I don't know if they can keep up with those things. I had a great conversation with you, my brother. I want to thank you so much for being able to join me.
Thank you very much. And I just
got to come back now.
I'm looking forward to it.
You ain't
got to
come back when you're hot. You can come back regular.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I just want to say hi to all Bahamians. Stay encouraged. Despite the difficulties we are facing, we believe that better days are ahead. God bless all of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Foundation with Howard Grant. I want to thank you so very kindly. I want to thank the leader of the Free National Movement for being able to sit with us. We look forward to further conversations. I'd like to talk about tech in Grand Bahama, the expansion thereof. I'd like to talk about BPL, talk about all these things. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to have this kind of a conversation and dialogue today. I thank all of you for your texts. I thank you for your telephone calls, your participation. Have a beautiful day. I'm going to the podiatrist right now, Dr. Minnis, and I'll see you tomorrow. God spare life right here on The Foundation.
The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.